afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's a humid, muggy day in South Carolina. But, you know, as my granddad used to say, the fish are already wet. What are you worried about? So get out there. It's, man, it's going to be a good show. And if I, if during conversation, the first half of the show, if it just goes silence in here, I have hit the wall of this week. Just a busy week, both on work and the show side. Been in Paris, Tennessee for a couple of days at the Bassmaster Costa High School National Championships. Got an invitation from Shimano, who, as you, many of you know, Shimano Fishing is headquartered down in Ladson, South Carolina. Been working with them on a few things, including our high school bass class that we hold down in Anderson, South Carolina. This December will be the second one. And we've got some other things going on with them. They got some ideas. So they invited us up to Paris, Tennessee, for a few days. Neil Paul from Visit Anderson and I went up on Wednesday. Got out on the water on, Kentucky Lake. That's a big lake. 160,000 acres. It's huge. And it's like a mini ocean. When the wind begins to blow 15, 20 miles an hour down, actually was rolling up the lake. As we found out on Thursday afternoon, we tried to go down the lake, but got out and got to see some of our South Carolina high school teams on the water competing. A couple of teams from Abbeville High School there. Dixie High School had a team there. York County had two teams. And I'm sure Travelers Rest had a team there. I got to see them and talk to those guys for a few minutes. They were 25 miles the wrong way on the lake when the wind picked up, and I didn't get to watch them fish any. I did get to watch the two York County schools in action, along with one of the Abbeville schools. And it was kind of neat seeing those guys performing. 9,000 kids, I think, were competing to be in this tournament, and they took 231 teams. So 460 kids out of 9,000. South Carolina, I believe, had 8 or 9 teams in the whole thing. So pretty big deal for South Carolina. And it was good. Ate way too much, as I always do when I'm out on the road. And then Friday morning, we had a 4-hour meeting about high school and college bass fishing. People like Gary Mason from Bethel University, gentleman from SCAD, which is down in Savannah, South Carolina Art and Design School, talking about, transitioning from high school into college fishing. Some of the scholarships are being offered these days. Gary Mason was there. Like I said, he was there. Then you had, Hank Weldon, head of, high school and bass fishing for Bass, was there. Bassmaster, old Dave Preck was there. A couple other gentlemen from like the Florida Bass Nation guys were there. So it was a big round table, of course, chaired by Shimano. About 4 people from Shimano were there talking about high school bass fishing and the exponential growth it's having. We talked about, challenges in the program. Just a good meeting, really good, but we didn't get in this. Neil and I didn't leave yesterday until 2:30. You lose an hour coming across that timeline. And with all the weather and the traffic and all, it was like 1:40 when I got in this morning. So like I said, in the next 30 minutes, if it just comes to a dead halt in here, Dave, you got, I don't know how much bumper music you can just play. But it was great. A lot of information. And look for some, Liz Ogilvy from American Sport Fishing Association was there with some programs nationally. They're going to be starting up on the conservation side, especially with soft plastics. You know, you would not believe, and if you go to any fishing store, whether it be Cabela's or Bass Pro or Dick's or Walmart or Academy or any mom and pop shop, you know, Zoom Bait Company all over the place, Havoc, Big Bite, everybody makes soft plastics, and it's a huge, I mean, okay, you got a crawfish body that you're putting on a jig, and one of the claws gets ripped off, so you change it out. What do you do with that, the rest that's left over? So there's a big movement about, and at the tournament weigh-in on Thursday, you had kids bringing in bags of soft plastics along with trash and everything else to the Shimano booth, and Shimano was giving them, Power Pro line and baits for bringing in the old stuff. So but as I understand it, a lot of that stuff is just being collected. Don't exactly know what to do with it yet. So it's going to be a big issue coming up because there's a lot of soft plastics, you know, high school fishing, college fishing, professional, and just everyday fishermen. I mean, I've got Zoom bait packages dating back to the 80s, and it's still good stuff. So what do you do with it? That's something they're going to be addressing here shortly. Hopefully there'll be another roundtable at ICAST in a couple of weeks, and we'll get some more information on that. But for those of you, you know, who have kids fishing in high school, and you know, you get an event like, you see the parents who've driven, who are staying in campers, RVs, hotels, boats everywhere, boat cabins, who are sitting there for 8 hours, whether their guys are catching or not, they're there on the boat with them. Pretty neat thing there are breaks throughout the day for those high school guys, which is, you know, rest breaks and just kind of sit down and take a breath. Really neat, but a lot of people, a lot of time, and a lot of money spent on high school, college, middle school. There's a middle school tournament on Tuesday and Wednesday. 51 teams. In fact, the team from, Marty Robinson's son and his partner finished ninth out of 51 teams from right out here in Inman, which is pretty strong showing. So just some good stuff, some things that we'll be talking about more here on the show. If you're not involved and would like to get involved, contact your local high school. Department of Natural Resources has got a list of every participating high school in South Carolina. And we did. It never ceases to amaze me, whether it's a National Archery and School Program, an IBO shoot, high school. Whenever these events take place, you know, you got a congregation of parents, you start talking to parents whose kids are there and their moms are taking pictures, and you start talking as parents to parents. And I've said this many times on the show, how the NASP archery program has really, and I won't say it's totally the reason, because I like to think our mom and I had something to do with it, but the change in Taylor and the way she approaches school now and her focus is so much better. And she's part of a team. She's got friends just in the archery. You see that on the fishing side too. It's really neat. So if you're at all interested in fishing at the high school level, middle school level, there are more teams starting up every day across our state, across the nation. So if you've got kids that live off in other states and all, make them aware of this, that it's an opportunity. And actually the York County school has more boat captains than they have teams right now. They've got an excess of volunteers who want to take kids fishing, which is, you know, hats off to those people. And that's what it takes. It takes adults, be it parents, grandparents, somebody in the neighborhood. It takes them, you know, making the time, making the effort to get out there and get these kids the opportunities they had as they were growing up. It gives you hope. It really does. It's, you know, across the board, fishing license sales are stagnant while our population is increasing, which means we're becoming a smaller and smaller percentage of the population who actually purchase license and fish. I think that's going to take a boom here in the next few years. The explosion of high school fishing, a lot of these kids, 15, 16, 17, don't have to have licenses yet. But here shortly, they will be. You have to buy a license to go fishing, whether it's in South Carolina, Kentucky, you know, Florida, wherever. And remember, as always, that money comes back to us in Pittman Robertson and Dingell Johnson money. And I encourage you, if you don't know that you're going to go fishing, or if you don't know that you're hunting, go ahead and buy a license, because it helps the environments. Conservation dollars come back to the states and all that. So anyway, that's my rant for today. It's supposed to be the calendar of events, but hey, it's my show. I can do what I want to with it, right? Within certain guidelines. So anyway, there's the second half of the show, we're going to talk to Britt Myers and the team from York High School about high school fishing. Next segment, I will get to a calendar of events, and I got a few other things that you need to know about. So hang on through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. South Carolina. I'm going to rabbit trail here just a second. I shouldn't do this, but speaking of Pittman Robertson and Dingell Johnson money, that was just released June the 15th. June 15, 2017, Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke announced $1.1 billion in annual funding for state and wildlife agencies from revenues generated by the Pittman-Robertson Wildlife Restoration and Dingell-Johnson Sport Fish Restoration Acts. This year, states will collectively receive $73.3 million more in funding than in 2016. Since 1937, sportsmen and women have contributed $56.9 billion to state game and fish agency conservation efforts in the form of Pittman-Robertson Dingell-Johnson funding. They help conserve fish and wildlife, support hunter education, provide clean water and healthy landscapes, maintain access to those resources for the general public, not just for hunters and anglers. Finance land access easements, construction of shooting ranges. We have the Palmetto the Palmetto Shooting Complex here in South Carolina is a direct result of construction of shooting range funds from Pittman-Robertson. Dingell-Johnson funds boat access facilities, wetlands protection, and water and soil conservation. Real quickly, from Pittman-Robertson funds, which is based on license sales, and it comprises part of license sales and excise tax on pretty much everything outdoors related you can buy. South Carolina is getting $10,497,258. I have asked, and I got to follow up on this. I've asked for a breakdown of what that's going to be used on, because I've been asked that question. You know, we get all this money back. What does it go for? So I'm trying to get you a breakdown of how that's applied. I know, like I said, with the Palmetto Shooting Complex, it was a little over $3 million allocated towards public shooting facilities. And I believe 2015 was that year when that happened, 2014-15. And then on the fishing side, through Dingell-Johnson, through license sales, fishing tackle excise, and all that. And if you talk to anybody like our friend Anthony Gagliardi, who has a rod company, about the excise tax, you know, it's a real thing. Went back to the wrong page. Okay. Fishing, $4,982,441. And that benefits everybody. I mean, yeah, we pay the majority of it. Some people pay a lot of it. Some people pay a little of it. We all contribute. It all comes back, and it's all for the greater good. Everybody gets to benefit from this money coming back in. So it's, I always say this, you know, thank a hunter or fisherman next time you, are out on some public lands or something and see a conservation project, you know. And I think there's a movement across the nation to include more people funding this. And I don't know how you're going to do that. It's kind of a touchy situation about who uses as opposed to who funds and all. But thank you, hunters and fishermen out there. You know, buy your licenses every year, whether you go or not. Buy a couple of duck stamps every year for that very same purpose. Although last year I didn't even get to duck hunt. Pretty sad commentary on my life last year. No duck hunting. Okay, quickly. And the weather is a little iffy across the state. There's some Cindy is still throwing some water our way. But, you know, tonight is the Great American Campout. It doesn't have to be anything more than going out in the backyard, grabbing a few neighborhood kids, doing it in the community park in your neighborhood or backyard or going up the mountains. Hey, it's still time. It's still light for another 7 hours or 6 hours or whatever. But tonight's the Great American Campout. Any night can be the Great American Campout. Just tonight's when it's promoted across the nation. I hope you'll get out there sometime this summer, camp out in the backyard, do whatever. If you want more information, and I've got a page of tips for first time campers and some ideas and all, it's the National Wildlife Federation, .org, Great American Campout, and you can get more information there. Next weekend is the 4th of July, or the weekend before the 4th of July. I will not be here. We're going to record, and it's going to be a pretty cool show. And there, every year I do the calendar events about festivals across the state for 4th of July. Some of them are going to start next Saturday night, so I'm going to get a few of those out there. And so you can start planning your 4th of July events. Let's see, the first one, the town of Monk's Corner is going to have their annual Independence Day festivities on Saturday the 1st. Parade down Main Street at 4 o'clock, Street Dance Regional Complex from 5 to 9:30. Fireworks immediately following. There'll be food trucks, vendors, live music, and activities for kids. Again, that's Saturday, and that is the town of Monk's Corner. Let's see. And I always hate when I print this off and can't read it. oh, well, forget that one. Sandy Cooper's Marina Drive-In. man. Riverfest. Okay, Riverfest. Yeah. Riverfest 2017, Conway, South Carolina. Opening ceremonies, golf cart parade. There you go. Artisan market, live local entertainment, and of course, food and fireworks. That's Riverfront Park, 3 to 10 p.m. in Conway, South Carolina. Let's see. South Carolina Festival of Stars. This is in 96, South Carolina, just a couple hours down the road here. It's going to be Saturday, July the 1st. It looks like they're going to have Aaron Tippin as the headliner. Pretty funny story about Aaron Tippin. When Aaron, before Aaron made it big, and then we're talking like in the, oh gosh, late 70s, early 80s, my brother taught guitar at a little shop up on Highway 290 called Phil's Music. And Aaron hung around, and I don't know if he was a teacher or if he just liked the music industry at that point. But anyway, Phil Lister had a garage behind his house with, you know, a basketball goal nailed directly to the garage door. So there was no room to do a layup unless you crashed in the garage door. And there were plenty of times there was a bloodletting at those basketball games. I was just a little kid, you know. But I remember playing basketball with Aaron, and then kind of lost track of Aaron. And in 1990, we're sitting in Colorado Springs, Colorado, on a stop going to an elk hunt, and CMT comes on, and there's Aaron Tippin, you got to stand for something. And we're like, whoa, that's where Aaron's been. Got to Nashville, made it big, and of course, he's just a name all over. So he's going to be there. Of course, food and fireworks, July the 1st, that is down in 96, South Carolina. Lake Murray Country, Lake Murray Country, 4th of July celebration, is going to happen July the 1st, 12 o'clock till 10 o'clock at night. Lots of stuff going on there. I think they're having a boat parade. Yeah, boat parades at noon, fireworks show after dark, and fireworks will launch from two locations down there, Drear Island and Spence Island, one on either side of the lake. It's pretty cool if you're in a boat to be out in the middle and watch them shooting off on both sides of it. Just remember to be careful. There will be a lot of people out on the water, and we don't want any accidents. We want everybody to come home safe again. Friend Ellie Jones down at Drear Island, I'm sure, is going to be busy as all get out with people coming in and camping this weekend. A great place to go, Drear Island, South Carolina. And then the last one today, Sherall, South Carolina, will have theirs on Monday, July the 3rd, starting at 10:30 a.m. Patriotic Children's Show, refreshments, prizes for contests, evening activities will be downtown Sherall, 7 to 10 p.m. with live music, kids games, rides, food, fireworks. And it's just a place to start. SCIway.com is the place to go to find a lot of these things. If you're in the upstate, Channel 7 has a list of 4th of July events around the area. This is just something to get you started on your trip to do some family things this 4th of July. I wanted to get to, before we hit that bottom of the hour break, the Department of Natural Resources. They did this Memorial Day. They're doing it again. They're going to have courtesy boat inspections 4th of July weekend. Let's see where they're going to be. July the 1st, Anderson County, Lake Hartwell, the River Fork, Beaufort County, Lemon Island, Berkeley, Cypress Gardens, Charleston, Buck Hall, Charleston, Wapu Cut, Clarendon, Alex Harvin, Darlington, Easterling, Lanning, Dorchester, Herbert Jensen, Georgetown, Carol Campbell, Horry County, Johnny Causey, Kershaw County, Clearwater Cove, Lexington County, Lake Murray Dam, Newberry, Billy Drear Island, the Tournament Ramp, which is on the right-hand side, Oconee County is Lake Kiwi at South Cove, York County, Ebenezer, July the 2nd. They're going to be spread all over from Beaufort, Berkeley, Charleston on July the 3rd, Lake Greenwood, Lake Thurman at River Fork and Scott's Ferry, July the 4th. River Forks again, Alex Harvin and Clarendon. Greenwood is going to be at the Lake Greenwood Park, Lexington County at the Dam, Marion at Gallivan's Ferry, and at Spartanburg County, Lake Bowen, the main ramp from 11 to 1. And these are scattered hours. They usually start at 10 to noon. Some of them are 2 to 4, 11 to 1 there. So, again, these are courtesy boat inspections where, you know, really if you own a boat, you should know already what you've got to have. But if you're unsure, have questions, you can pull up. They will look at what you've got, you know, inspect your equipment, make sure you got the right equipment. They're not ticketing at these events. They're just telling you, look, you're good, or here's what you need to be good. So it's a courtesy thing. Before you get out on the water and get ticketed for not having the right equipment, you can go here and make sure you've got it all right. If you need more information, go to dnr.sc.gov. This is a news story dated June 22nd, 2017. So, wow, and I always forget this, and I'm going to go over this. The South Carolina Wildlife Federation, every year in September, has a women's outdoor retreat. And I mean, it is a good one. It's September the 15th through September the 17th this year, Hickory Knob State Park, which is in McCormick, South Carolina. It's a full weekend, ladies, and it's only for you. No guys allowed. You're staying and you're doing it. I'm trying to get someone to come on and talk about this a little more. There is a registration deadline. There's a registration fee of $100. Meals. They have a full service restaurant there. Some of the things you're going to be doing here, if you want to get up on things in the outdoors, archery, backpacking, backyard wildlife habitat, birding, canoeing, cardio self-defense. There you go. Colonial women's work. That's kind of cool. Freshwater fishing, geocaching, kayaking, knot tying. You get a Lake Thurman paddle, map and compass reading, natural treasures of South Carolina, nature photography, outdoor cooking, paddle boarding, saltwater fishing, skeet shooting, firearm safety, wilderness first aid, and hey, yoga. You got to throw that in there. But this is for you, ladies. Coming up September 15th to the 17th, Hickory Knob State Park, scwf.org for more information. Come back. You're going to listen to Britt Myers and those guys talk about high school fishing. I'll be back at the very end to wrap it up. Well, if you can hear any of the background noise, you hear the rain. That's because Tropical Storm Cindy has given us a rain delay in the Costa Bassmaster High School Nationals here on Kentucky Lake in Paris, Tennessee. And it's kind of fortunate that we do have a rain delay because I got to catch up with Britt Myers, his family. And, you know, I got to cover Britt Myers down in Winya Bay. And yesterday out on Kentucky Lake, I got to cover his son, Little Brett, out on the lake. So it's kind of a cool thing for me. But we're in their RV. They've graciously allowed a few minutes of their time today to talk about not only their family life and on the road fishing the Elite Series, fishing the high school series, but to talk about high school fishing, because I don't think I've really covered high school fishing on the show before. But I want to thank Britt, Missy, Little Britt, and Tanner for taking a few minutes. And I guess starting out fishing. I mean, you don't want to say the apple doesn't fall from the tree, because falling says you're doing something wrong. But, man, there's no wrong in fishing. Right, Britt?
There's no wrong in fishing. You know, I guess you can say we're a fishing family, but this is a pretty cool because, you know, honestly, high school fishing is it's pretty intense. If like a lot of parents do, traveling for baseball, football, and all that good stuff, when it comes down to it, there's a lot of intensity there, and a lot of people want to do good. But the cool thing about high school fishing is it's something relatively new, but it's growing at a rapid pace. You've seen it. You know, we've had 280 boat tournaments in South Carolina. In Texas, they had at one day on Sam Rayburn two different tournaments. One had 500 and another tournament had 180, and it's growing. And I think at the meeting for this high school nationals, there were 7,000 people who competed, and they narrowed it down to this one tournament, which was 231 boats. So I'll tell you a quick story about Britt. You know, he's grew up around fishing. We have another son, Carson, who actually he's outside right now, but
in the rain.
Yeah, he's outside actually in a bathhouse getting a shower.
Okay. But,
you know, they both like fishing, and Britt always liked fishing, but he never was really eat up with it. And actually, whenever they started talking about a high school team, his teammate Tanner here pretty much begged Britt. Well, let's go back for a minute. So Britt and Tanner played sports and stuff growing up, okay, at a real small age.
Okay.
And Tanner always wanted to go fishing. And unfortunately, I stay pretty busy.
Sure.
I wish I could take everybody fishing,
sure,
but I don't get a chance to take everybody fishing like I'd like to. I wish I could just take different people fishing 7 days of the week, but it just don't work out that way. Well, we never got a chance to take Tanner fishing. When the high school team came out, Tanner pretty much is like, you know, come on, Britt, let's be teammates. Let's fish. So And then they started fishing, and Britt started liking fishing a little bit more. But in about the last 12 months, Britt's like really became eat up with fishing, which is really cool. And Tanner has also. So here we are. They competed all year. They've had some good tournaments. And just like any fisherman, they've had some not so good tournaments. But they made this, and this is where we're at.
How long you guys been fishing now?
2 years. So it's like 2.5 years.
And that's York County High School?
Yeah.
And Chris Canute is your coach?
Yeah.
Very good. Was having a dad fishing kind of just like, I don't want to fish because he's gone all the time? Or is it just not something you were interested in up front?
Well, I used to like it when I was younger, but I never really got eat up with bass fishing. I used to like the bluegill fish more. But...
a lot more action in it. Yeah, the
well, I fish. I think it's fun. More independence. When you're fishing off the bank, you don't have your dad telling you what to do.
True.
You're not doing anything wrong. You know, you're just, actually everybody learns fishing that way.
And then I started fishing by myself and it got more fun. But now I like doing it with a partner more. So.
Competition. Other sports, what kind of sports did y'all do before fishing?
I used to wrestle and play football.
I just used to play baseball and then I got hurt, so I couldn't play baseball anymore.
Okay.
Ironically, they met playing basketball.
Yeah, I say that.
We were like four, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Britt, what's it, I guess, little Britt, let's start with you. What's it like having a dad fish in the Elite Series?
It's pretty cool, but I don't really get to see him as much as I'd like to because he's out of the way, so that kind of thing.
Do you make many of his tournaments?
No, like one or two a year.
Okay. That's tough. Britt, what's it like as a fisherman having a kid fishing, high school fishing?
It's really cool. As a parent, you want them to realize what they have in front of them because, like, we didn't have anything like that when we were younger.
Of course
I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine if we did.
I wouldn't have made it out of eighth grade.
Yeah, exactly. And, but it's cool. I mean, it's, you want to teach them. You want them to learn. The biggest thing as a parent, whether it's fishing or whatever they do in life, you want them to work hard to achieve something because that's what life's all about. Right. You know, you gotta work hard and hard work pays off. So, and they've seen that, you know, as a coach, I've seen Tanner catch all the fish early in the morning and Britt's back there with his lip stuck out. And I've seen it vice versa, you know, and at the end of the day, maybe Britt catches the biggest fish or Tanner does. And then they're high fiving and life's good. You know, it's a team effort.
Yeah.
It's and like they had a great day yesterday. And as far as the fish they had in the live well, I think it was pretty even who caught what. But I told him at the beginning, this is what I told him. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, we don't want to hear who catches the biggest fish.
Right.
If someone asks you, hey, who caught that, you tell them. But you don't, look at the one I caught. Look
right.
at the one I caught. Because there's going to be days where you don't catch squat, and the other person's going to catch them all.
Right.
And it's going to flip. And that's going to happen. As a team, you want to definitely learn that teamwork.
High school fishing is... got some rules to it. It's got some, you know, it's three people in a boat because obviously you at 15, 16, 17 years old can't go out here and run up and down the lakes and all that. It's a liability issue. So, Britt, you're the boat captain for all the ones you can be.
Right.
Talk to us a little bit about high school fishing, what's involved from a boat captain standpoint. And then I'm going to get the boys to tell me what's involved on the, you know, the actual fishing side. So, like, what can and can't you do as a boat captain?
Well, first off, I think a high school boat captain, it's the most, I don't know the word you want to say, but you got to really be involved, more involvement than anything. You know, if you're involved in baseball or something, you might travel an hour somewhere, 2 hours, sit around 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours.
Sure.
This, I mean, it's huge. I mean, I see boat captains who don't have a kid.
Right.
One of our guys on our team, Jim,
we call him Jim.
He doesn't have a kid. He loves fishing so much that he travels all over the place, takes kids that aren't his kids fishing.
Right.
And there's people doing that all over the country, which is just really awesome. But, it's, you know, a guy asked me yesterday, we're on Kentucky Lake.
Right.
To me, probably one of my very favorite lakes in the country. And another boat captain says, man, did it not kill you not to get the fish? I never thought about it one time yesterday. I really didn't. I was just watching these guys work, and I know how Kentucky Lake pans out. You saw us yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
We were running around, had no fish, and then all of a sudden we had a big flurry.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like
every cast
they were catching good ones, and you know, really nice fish. And but going back to what, you know, your question was, to be honest with you, we even had some guys last year not like the fact that a pro angler was being a boat captain.
Right.
I would, if I had to quit the elites to watch my, you know, kid go through or be able to help out in high school fishing, I would, because that's a once in a lifetime experience for me.
Because you're not fishing.
Right.
I mean, since you're there to drive the boat.
Yep.
Offer some encouragement.
Yep.
Make them take their breaks. I understand they have some little breaks during the day
to
take. And I ran into another team who was on a break. They were just sitting there. I was like, why aren't you fishing? Well, we're on a mandatory break session. So, but that's pretty much your duties. Drive the boat, encouragement. Can you give them advice on, hey, I think you need to fish over here? Is that you? Can you do that during practice? Maybe not in the tournament, or is there?
Yeah. So during practice, I can fish with them.
Okay.
The boat captains can fish with them. They can help them locate fish. You can show them how to work a bait. You can show them everything during practice. Once the tournament starts, that all ceases. But you have timeouts, 8 timeouts. It's like a 1 minute timeout basically.
Okay.
And then you have almost like a halftime, which is a 15 minute. You can't drive the boat. You can't fish. You have to sit there, and then you can just tell them, hey, you got to do this. You got to make this better. It's just like football. A lot of this is like football. A coach can't run out on the field and say, Tanner, snap the ball on this or throw a slant. You know, you got to wait till he's off the field. So, Bass has done an exceptional job at really getting this format, you know, up and going. It's hard. I mean, from I get to fish the elites,
right?
So I watch how all that works, and they do a fantastic job of that. And how they manage high school fishing is just unbelievable.
All right, a little bit, Tanner. Let's get your opinion. Let's get your take on it. Out there on the water, who makes the decisions to pick up and run and go somewhere else to fish?
It's us, because he can't really tell us anything. So we just take a spot that we pick in practice. We make little areas to run to in practice. We make a schedule, and then if they're not fishable, we run to the next one.
You ever give them advice from the back of the boat?
But not really. Like yesterday, we would fish, and then he'd be like, all right, let's go. You want to go? And I'd be like, sure. Let's go somewhere else, and then we'd pick a spot, and we'd run to it, fish, and then we'd do the same thing over and over.
I want to chime in on one thing.
Go ahead.
Every time each one of them gets a fish on, they tell each one what to do. Oh, hold your rod up. Hold your rod down.
Yeah.
Like they've been fishing 20 years of fish.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun, actually.
Most of the time it's, get the net.
You probably heard it yesterday.
I heard you yesterday, yeah. Heard you, saw a few fist pumps, a couple of high fives and slaps and all. It was fun to watch. Encouragement. You lose a fish. I mean, it as a team, I mean, you guys encourage each other during the day.
Yeah, you may have seen that big one he lost yesterday. I don't know if you saw, he lost a very big one, and it was okay. I mean, it happens because you can't really ever know. He did everything right, but he just always loses a big one, apparently. We never lose a small one, so we never lose the big ones in practice. In practice, you never even set the hook on them, so I get them in the boat.
Yeah. When y'all are fishing together, I guess during practice you kind of figure out what they want and stuff like that. Are you throwing the same thing?
Most practice, like, because my dad can practice, we all three throw different baits.
Okay.
Or two of us will throw one bait and different colors and patterns, and then he'll throw a different bait or something and see what they like more.
So yesterday when y'all were fishing, what were y'all throwing? Because I wasn't quite close enough to see, and I don't want to get disturbed, especially when they started turning on and y'all were catching fish. I couldn't tell. Football jigs, Carolina rigs, what were y'all using?
Well, I was throwing a Carolina rig at one point in the morning when you guys were following us at first.
On the ledge, on the ledge.
I caught a couple, but they were all really small. And so then we put up that spot, we caught a lot, and I caught one on it. And he was throwing a jig and saw him behind it, and then I kept throwing Carolina rig. I didn't catch any. And I switched to my jig, and that's when we all started catching them. So I guess on that spot, jigs what they wanted. But we always throw two different baits when we get to a spot and see which one they want. Because if they want one, then that's all they'll want, maybe.
Tanner? Well, I'm being awfully quiet here.
Well, speak up. Like, first couple of days of practice, he would throw the Carolina rig, he would throw a certain color jig, and I'd throw a certain color jig.
Okay.
We'd see which spot got the most, like, reaction.
Okay.
And then we'd just go from there. Like, they're on the football jig. One of them, he would pick up a football jig, or he would cast it out there, and if they got another one, that's what we would throw.
Okay. How did y'all get here? Because there's, you know, in college angling, you got the open tournaments that go around, and you qualify for the championships. Because you're not, unlike other teams, you're not, you know, I got 25 games, or making points, or championships. How'd you get to Kentucky Lake?
Well, we did the Southern Open on Chickamauga.
Okay.
But there's two ways you can do it. You can do it in the points. But we didn't make the points because, I mean, this year is a little easier to make it.
Okay.
But it wasn't at the same time because last year there were only like 100-something boats here for where we live in South Carolina. So it was only the top two teams. And sadly, last year we made third in the state.
Oh, wow.
And this year they took like...
Took a lot more.
I think they took like... 20 teams, we made it in like 25th, I think.
Okay.
So we were barely out again by points, but we got lucky because we made it in Chickamauga, but my dad wasn't able to take me, but my coach's son was able to take us.
Okay. Now y'all fish Marty Walker's tournament trail. I'm at a boat center. Tanner, where all do y'all fish on that trail?
We'll go from Hartwood to Murray, Norman, Greenwood, Falls Lake, Kiwi. All around South Carolina, pretty fun.
In the state. And, yeah, he's puts on a good trail.
Oh, I like his trail. It's fun.
He can do a little bit better on the MCing, but he does a good job. I really like Marty. Can't share information on a tournament day with your boat captain. And you can't even share information between teams.
Well, I don't know if you can. You can't on the water. You can't. Once you're off the water, you can share information. It's a lot, like I said, it's a lot like the Elite Series. On the water, you can. If you get beside each other,
okay.
you can.
Okay.
Like if I pull up the Terry Scroggins and Elites,
right.
we'll help each other out.
Sure.
You know, it's 12 o'clock. Hey, I caught yep. somebody on a drop shot, you know. So you can do that. They don't want you calling each other on the phone or anything okay. like that. So they prohibit you from using the phone. As a device to
get information
with, yeah.
Okay. Missy, it's your turn. Don't give me the deer in the headlights look. It doesn't work. You got two guys who like to fish, and sometimes they're going different directions. How do you handle all that?
Well, if I go with my son first.
Oh!
Only because we have been able to go with Daddy for so long.
Okay.
And... as long as I get him packed up, ready to go, and everything he needs, he would rather me be where Little Bird is.
Gotcha.
That's how that works.
But you're at home while Britt's out on tour, holding down the fort.
I am working
yeah.
and running my two boys.
Yeah. Because y'all have exactly a business, too. I mean, Britt and I,
yep.
one of the other mm-hmm. times we talked about CS Motorsports. So you actually got that going on.
Yes.
In addition to fishing Elite Series, fishing high school.
Right.
And you also got another son.
Yes.
With all his stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Now, is he a fisherman at all?
He's to drive a boat.
He likes to drive and race.
He can tell you every boat manufacturer, every size engine. He loves to drive the boat. But you know, Brent was the same way.
Yeah.
You know, when I fish the Elites, we have marshals that ride with
right.
us. And we talk about that a lot. A lot of father sons or a lot of kids that don't like fishing as they get older. Like just the last tournament, I had a guy with me. He said his son didn't like fishing at all. Went to college. When he got back from college, he calls his dad. Said, "Dad, let's go fishing." He said, "Now they fish every weekend together." So you never know when that bug's going to hit. It may not ever hit, but if it does, you know, maybe he'll be in high school with Tanner's brother, ironically.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So, yeah, Tanner's brother's the same age, and you never know. So.
You gonna tell your brother how to talk to the other Myers kid into fishing?
Yeah, it'll be hard. Jacob's not like, let's go fishing, let's go fishing.
But him and Carson are the same exact way. They like video games. So. Yeah.
Man, tomorrow, full field fishing again. Y'all are in like 30,
41st
place?
Maybe it's
41st.
41st.
The other, Chris's team is in 38th or something like that. Y'all are real close in the standings. And you had a good day yesterday. I mean, there for a while, man, y'all were just one after the other. And that school turns on, and that's how quick y'all can catch them. Because when the first time I ran across you, you only had one.
Right.
I think we should have left the spot a little earlier than we did. I think we hammered on a little too much. And then we just couldn't get the big bite after that. I mean, you weren't with us when we made our last cull.
No.
I caught about a 3 or so, and it culled out of 2 3/4.
Okay.
So it made about a quarter of a pound of cull, which helped a lot.
Think this rain's going to affect things much tomorrow?
I don't know. Hopefully they run the current. If they do, that'll get good.
It's a big lake out there.
It is huge. I've never measured it, but I think it's probably 70, 80 miles long.
160,000 acres.
Yeah.
Compared with Lake Hartwell, which is like 56 or so.
Compared to our home lake, it's about 100-something thousand more.
And your home lake being Lake Wylie.
Yeah. I think Wylie's like 18,000 acres.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pond in the backyard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how many more years do you guys have to fish?
It's our last year. It's next year.
Seniors next year, last year. Going forward, do you think you'll, I mean, high school is big, college is even bigger. I mean, we were in a meeting with Gary Mason and the guys from SCAD, and they're talking about scholarships and stuff like that. Is that an option for you going forward after you graduate? I mean, you going to college? What's your plans for after high school?
I'm definitely going to go to college and fish. I'm just trying to find one that has a good fishing scholarship.
Tanner?
Same thing with him. Same thing.
Same thing.
Just going to college, trying to get fishing scholarships.
Yeah. Either one of you have thoughts of getting on tour or fishing professionally, or?
I think I might try.
Yeah.
I can.
Gonna definitely try.
You gotta have goals.
Yeah. It's just kind of hard because after you see how long they have to be away from their families, it's kind of hard.
Yeah. It is. And even with this, I mean, you see, I'm sitting here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I had a birthday 2 weeks ago. I was on Wheeler. My mom was like, do those boys know this is your birthday and you're with them and not at home? So everything's got its downsides. Don't let that scare y'all from you know, setting your goals, making dreams happen or whatever. Well, look, I appreciate y'all taking some time out. Missy, looks like you're doing a good job keeping everything running. Now, y'all are fixing to move now, right?
Well, we are in the process.
In the process of moving. And somebody saw through the gas lines at home.
Yes.
And you don't have hot water when you get home.
I just found out this morning.
Yeah, she does a good job. Like, the stuff at home, she keeps... She doesn't tell me all the bad stuff.
Right.
Until, like, you get a break. Usually it's after the tournament that everything hits you at one time.
So it's a good thing he found out before you just brought it out.
I blew the secret off that
one. Sometimes I just have to find side
sure.
of the fence.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to distract here.
Right.
Him from, whether it's his fishing, Little Britt's fishing, whatever. I just handled it and got it taken care of and figured he would find out we might not have hot water when we get home on the way.
Well, cool. Well, look, I appreciate you taking time. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
And, you know, text me, let me know how you do. It's an hour earlier here, so
yeah.
I'll be in the show when y'all are weighing in. So
Okay. Text
me, let me know, and I'll give an update.
Gotcha.
A live update some point tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good luck. Be safe out there. Hope we don't have too much water come down for you guys, and hope they generate.
Yeah, they have to be sunny. Hope.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good day.
Oh, good. Speaking of which, you know, the calling of the day, I mean, it's got to be huge. A lot of people's travel plans, you know, and you cancel a full day of fishing.
Yeah.
And this morning when you woke up, it was clear out there, and you're like, what were they thinking? And, you know, 2 hours into the day, it's torrential rains and winds and all. And and we were in that meeting this morning, and Hank was in there with us, and he said, you know, it's just not worth taking a chance with this age kids.
Yeah.
You know, you can fish tomorrow.
That's right.
Be safe today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they can enjoy it.
Yeah.
They get out there, get out there fishing, and it just rains 3 inches on them. That's just absolutely miserable.
Oh, we got good rest today because I haven't been sleeping at all.
And they also got to see what it's like that, like what a pro angler does.
Sure.
You know, getting up at 4:40 every morning and mm-hmm. practicing till. Yeah, normally on an elite event, I will get up at that time and I'll practice till 8-9 o'clock that night. Yeah. And you know, and every day about 4:35 o'clock, they were done. They had no more energy, nothing left in them. So. The day break for everybody was good.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, like I said, thanks for the time. let's circle back around and keep in touch next year as you guys are seniors and fishing the trail. I'm sure I'll see you out there. I'm trying to get more involved in there. Britt, let's keep up. We got to go fishing one of these days.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
One of these days. We keep saying that, but it's we're busy. Everybody's busy,
well,
you know?
As far as I live right there next to Wally, so you can come anytime.
All right.
So we don't head back on the leads for about 3 weeks, so maybe the next 2 weeks or so we'll go.
In the heat of June and July.
I kind of like that kind of weather. I don't know. I guess I'm crazy.
No, you're just a fisherman. Anytime you can get out on the water, it's a good time to be fishing.
That's right.
All right. Well, y'all take care. Safe travels home, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
All right, Roger. Thank you.
That was a good time. And if you heard the rain through the whole interview, well, the bottom just dropped out here at the studio, and I heard I didn't have my headphones on during most of the segment, and I could hear the rain pounding the roof here. So the rain has followed me to South Carolina. Thanks to Tropical Storm Cindy. I was looking at the Bassmaster.com leaderboard to see if they had weighed in. They haven't hit the stage yet. So don't know how they've done, but I guess we'll find out here in the next hour or so. 231 teams they have to weigh in today, and they were moving them pretty quickly on Thursday. 223, 231 teams. So hope you enjoyed that. It's getting those kids out there is what it's all about. And if you know, you heard the ads for Palmetto Boat Center, that is Marty Walker's business down on 85 going towards Anderson. He puts on the Palmetto Boat Center High School Trail, does a great job with it. He actually did the weigh-in, the launch and weigh-in for the Hooked on Hope tournament a month or so ago. And, just does a great job. So if you're ever in Palmetto Boat Center, hey, pull Marty aside, tell him how much you appreciate what he's doing for South Carolina, the high school bass fishing clubs around the state. And, just does a really good job and a good friend of mine. I'd like to say we've gotten to know each other over the past year or so and, really great guy. So that's it. Next week, next Saturday is July the 1st. I will not be here. It'll be a recorded show, but it's here in for a treat because, you know, July the 4th is Salute from the Shore. And they'll be here with us. We're going to do a segment with them. Yeah, Salute from the Shore is down on the coast of South Carolina. If you're out on the beach, wear your red, white, and blue. Wave at the F-16 fighter jets and all the other airplanes running the coast. We're also going to be talking to Sammy Davis, who is a Medal of Honor winner from Vietnam. Pretty cool story there. So as always, thanks for listening. Make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget that camera. I'll see you next week on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Carolina, in my mind.